So there it was. Christmas season, 1997. My wife, Jennifer, and I were at the mall doing a little bit of Christmas shopping. We have three children, but at the time we only had two. Samantha was about 3 and a half. Matt was getting on for 2 years old. We're doing some shopping and we decided, you know, kids getting that hangry thing. So we paused for lunch. We're there in the food court, and you've been to the food court at the mall. Maybe you've been there at Christmas. The noise is incredible, but completely indecipherable. It's just this hum, this buzz of stuff, and you don't really pick out anything. It's just there, the noise. So with the two little children, we managed to score a seat. Jennifer sits there with the two young ones, and I make my way through the crowd up to the counter. I have no idea what we're eating, to order something. So there I am, focused on this. Unbeknownst to me, back at the table, Jennifer and young Samantha are engaged in conversation. Mom, I want to go be with Daddy. Sammy, you can't go be with Daddy. Can't you see all the people around? I can't just let you go through all those people. You're so small. But Mommy, I want to go see Daddy. Jennifer thought she had a moment of inspiration. She says to Samantha, if you can get Daddy's attention, then you can go. Never challenge your children. I'm at the counter. They're like at the back in the sound booth. I'm focused on food. The noise is around. And then I hear, Daddy! And I'm like, that's not even possible. But I know that voice. The voice of my daughter, and I turn around, big smile, Jennifer shaking her head, and here comes Samantha. The voice that you know, the one that you're attuned to, cuts through the noise. You hear it regardless of whatever else is going on, because you're attuned to the voice. A year later, we left Canada with our now three little children to go to the country of Papua New Guinea to minister with Mission Aviation Fellowship. A few years further on, we're living in the town of Goroka. It's about 18,000 people live in the town of Goroka in Papua New Guinea. And life is a little different there than it is here. One of my chores on Saturday morning was to go to the market. The market, it's a year-round growing season in Papua New Guinea, so you can get fresh, awesome stuff all the time. So my job was to go to the market. Now, why did I go to the market? Jennifer didn't want to go to the market. Because it's a zoo, an absolute zoo. Although there's like 18,000 people in the town, the field, the zone the market draws from is more than that. So on any given Saturday morning, even if you go early to beat the rush, there's still hundreds of people. There's the parking spot. You maybe, if you're lucky, you can find a spot. You kind of go through the hundreds of people, and you wade through the mud, and you go through the gate, and you start going up and down the rows, selecting what it is you want. So this particular day, I've managed to run the gauntlet. I'm inside, and I'm there picking carrots, I think it was. Which carrots do I want? How many carrots did Jennifer tell me I'm supposed to get? And as I'm standing there trying to decide about the carrots, somebody comes up beside me. First thing I do is grab my pockets to make sure he's not going to, you know, remove my market money. And then he says to me, he says, Pilot, you need to come out to your car. There's a couple of things in that might cause you to question. First of all, how does he know I'm Pilot? Because I'm looking at him going, never seen you before, man. No idea who you are, but yet you know who I am. But that wasn't really a surprise because we've been in New Guinea long enough to know that everybody knows my business. Everybody knows exactly what I'm doing. They knew who I am. They know what I stand for. They know why I'm there. So when he says, hey, Pilot, you need to come out to your car, I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. Then you might say, weren't you surprised about the come out to your car? I'm like, nah. My car's been broken into so many times, the door locks just go pop as soon as a thief comes walking by my car. So I'm like, oh yeah, whatever. So I'm just like, okay, yeah, another day in New Guinea. So I go outside with the man, and that is where I'm surprised. Because the hundreds, and I'm not talking like 200, I'm talking close to the 1,000 mark, of people are focused on one thing, my car. The people part, and me and my new friend, we walk through, and in the middle, like in the eye of the storm, there's my car, and there's a person who identifies himself as a policeman, and another man who's not looking very happy. And as I approach, I notice the policeman is armed with a knife. Those of you who are old enough to remember Crocodile Dundee, a knife. And as I approach, the policeman is down with his knife, doing this around the man's toes. And I'm like, wow. And then as I get up closer to and start to realize that what happened is the man had been trying to remove the spare tire from my car, the policeman reverses the knife, takes the handle, and starts rapping the man on the cheeks. And the blood splatters back onto my face, and I'm like, this is new. Not been here before. So there I am, eye of the storm, myself, the policeman, the thief, and 1,000 people. And the noise is like the mall, only intensified. There's a lot of noise. There's people at the back going, what's going on? What's going on? The people closer to tell them, oh, some guy broke into the pilot's car. And then a bunch of them, what's he gonna do? What's the pilot gonna do? And then the others trying to tell me what I should do. And the policeman saying, what do you want to do? So there I am. I'm the missionary. I'm the representative of Jesus Christ in that moment, at that time. And they're saying, what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, God's a God of justice. The man's been caught stealing. There's a price to be paid. And then I'm like, but God's a God of justice. I mean, God's a God of mercy and God's a God of grace. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Cutting through the noise, as I stand there trying to decide what is it I should do, I hear these words. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now what do you say? Pilate, we got this man caught stealing. The law says, what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the old ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. Right there, at that moment, I'm sensing that I am Jesus Christ to these people, and they're wondering, what does Jesus say about this? When we are faced with those kind of challenges, at those moments, at those times, and you've all had them, they may not be as wildly dramatic as that, but you've had them, we need God's voice to break through. We needed to break through the sound and the noise and the struggle and the pain as we're trying to figure out what exactly is it that we are supposed to do at that moment. As missionaries, we're told we're supposed to be ready to preach, pray, or die at a moment's notice. Well, at that particular time, I didn't feel my life was in danger. It didn't necessarily seem the time to lead everybody in corporate prayer. And I'm like, but is this a time when I'm supposed to preach? What does it mean to live life on purpose? There's an intentionality to that, but there's also a preparedness to that. We need to be prepared at all times. First Peter chapter 3 says this, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ, sorry, that's the wrong one, that's the Colossians one. Let's go to the other one. 1 Peter 3:15, there we go. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. And then in Colossians 3:17, it says this, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It doesn't say that you're gonna get all the time, that the problem is gonna present itself to you and you're gonna say, wait, I just gotta go home and study a little bit and then I'll come back. I couldn't tell the people in the market, wait, I'll be back next Saturday and I'll render my verdict then. Because the question was, then. You're faced with the purpose of being Jesus, then. And are you prepared at that time, in that moment, to give an account for the hope that lies within you? Are you prepared at that time to be Jesus to those he came to save? Are you ready? Are you prepared to answer that question at that time? We need to be attuned to the voice of the Lord because the noise is out there. You know the noise is out there. But are you prepared when you go to the Shell station, you're pumping gas in your car, are you prepared to give an account of the hope that lies within you? When you go to the IGA, are you prepared to give an account of the hope that lies within you? When you're checking in at the hotel at 1:30 in the morning, as happened to Jennifer and I 2 weeks ago, are you prepared to give an account for the hope that lies within you? Because life on purpose is about being prepared at all times to give an account of the hope that lies within you. It's a very short message this morning. It's a very easy message this morning, isn't it? Are you prepared to give an account for the hope that lies within you? Jennifer told me I had to tell you what happened at the story, otherwise it wasn't fair. As I looked at the young man there, clearly a downtrodden spirit, an angry mob around, a policeman who had already executed some level of punishment or justice or something, we felt that in that particular situation, we should let the young man go, having suffered enough. I'd like to close with these words this morning, words that are probably known to a lot of you, but this is life on purpose. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. As you go out this week, as the missionaries told us, be purposeful, be intentional, look for opportunities, but be prepared and listening for the voice of the Lord to cut through the noise and speak to you and possibly ask you to do something that is outside your comfort zone that doesn't make any sense. But listen, listen for the voice of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the privilege, the opportunity we have to gather into your house. And as we go about our daily business, whatever that may be, oh Lord, help us to listen, to be hearing your voice, and to be willing to react to that. And also help us day by day to be prepared, spending time with you, learning what your word says, such that when that opportunity arises, we are ready to give an account of the hope that we have through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We trust you have been encouraged and challenged in your faith journey. If you're desiring prayer, want more information on our church, want to partner with us, or be involved in any way, please go to our website at mountoliveefc.com. We'll see you next time.